The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what he said, and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning. Now, as I was preparing for this homily, I was thinking, you know, what's something new that I can say? Not new. There's nothing new under the sun, as Scripture tells us, right? But this is a gospel passage with which all of us are very familiar, and it becomes difficult, especially after I've noticed this even in just 2.5 years of priesthood. Okay, well, I've preached on the same gospel on the same feast day twice already, and it's the same people, and what can I say? And on the one hand, there's so much that can be said. With this particular gospel, there's so much that could be said, and with the feast day in general. So here goes. If you've heard me preach on this gospel before, hopefully this will be something new. First, I think it's important to remember what this feast day is. And the church kind of confuses us a little bit today by giving us this gospel, because the feast we're celebrating today is, of course, Mary's conception in her mother's womb, the womb of St. Anne. And yet, the gospel that we have today is Jesus' conception in his mother, Mary. So it can be kind of confusing. I remember having an argument with my father in my second or third year of seminary, where he was convinced that the Immaculate Conception was Christ's conception in the womb of his mother. I said, "No, Dad, I'm sure I can tell you that is not true." "Well, the nuns taught me." "Well, no, the nuns did not teach you that." I said, "I'm in the seminary. You got to believe me on this." Finally, he backed down. But this gospel is given for this feast day precisely because there isn't a recorded event of Mary's conception in her mother's womb. That is one of those things that is not in Scripture. And we can often be asked by especially some of our Protestant brothers and sisters, "How do you believe this? Why do you believe this? It's not in the Bible." But I think that there are two important things that we see in these readings today, in both the gospel and in the first reading, and in the second reading as well somewhat, but especially in the gospel in the first reading, we see scriptural evidence that makes the Immaculate Conception reasonable. That makes it not just reasonable, but makes it logical, kind of a logical consequence. And the first is this. What did the angel say to the Blessed Mother when he appeared to her. He greeted her with the word hail, but then said, full of grace, full of grace. Not just as we hear in some translations, you know, highly favored lady. It's not just that she was a good girl, a holy girl, a smart girl. No, she was full of grace, full. That there was no ounce of her that was not filled with grace. That it's not that she was just a really holy woman. No, she was at capacity, if you will, with grace. There was no room for anything contrary to God in her. There was no space in her for any sort of sin, not just actual sin, but even original sin. You know that when we talk of sin, there's really a whole diagram we could do of sin. There's actual sin, of course, with what we're simply conceived with. As soon as we're conceived, we have that sin on our soul, which of course is washed away at baptism. But then after baptism, when we attain the age of reason and we start actually choosing to do things, that becomes actual sin. And then, of course, even below actual sin, we could divide further between mortal sin and venial sin. But Mary has not just zero actual sin, she has zero original sin. She is literally full of grace. She is at capacity. There is zero space for anything contrary to God. And I think it's important, you know, this, I just mentioned that little distinction between venial sin and mortal sin. I think it's important to remember sometimes just the radicality of sin altogether. Sometimes we can get tricked into thinking that, well, venial sins are okay. Well, they don't destroy the life of grace in my soul, right? So they're not that bad. Well, yeah, there is a very big difference between venial sin and mortal sin, but that doesn't make venial sin okay. No, not even one venial sin is a good thing. It's important for us to remember that, but that the Blessed Mother here, completely, completely full of grace. So I think that's the first thing that we can look at is if the angel is telling the truth here, if the angel is meaning what the angel is saying here in greeting her with this greeting full of grace, I think that right there is one of the strongest arguments for the Immaculate Conception. How could the Blessed Mother have been born with the original sin with which all of us are born? How could she have even been conceived with it? If she is to be this woman who is full of grace, who has zero, not just sin, zero stain of sin. Right? That's what the opening prayer said, that the Blessed Mother was preserved from even the slightest stain of sin. Right? But now let's look at the first reading, because there's another really strong scriptural evidence for the Immaculate Conception, for the great dogma of the Immaculate Conception, in that first reading from the book of Genesis. Right in the beginning of time, very third chapter of the Bible, God has created Adam and Eve. He's given them this wonderful paradise. The one thing he told them not to do was to not eat from this one tree. Not because it was intrinsically bad, not that there was anything wrong with that tree, but as a matter of obedience. And God said, do not eat from this tree. And of course, they did. And what does God say in response? God says to the snake, the devil, because you are the one who has tricked Eve, you will be cast out. You will eat dirt. You will crawl on your belly. He says, I will put enmity between you and the woman. It's said that this is the only hatred that God himself has actually authored. God who is love. God who is love. This is the only hatred that actually has its origin in God. And it's a hatred of sin. Gotten into some arguments with people before about, does God hate anyone? And I say, well, no, of course, God can't hate anyone because God is love. And because every one who God has created was created in his image and likeness, both angels and men. So we've all been created in the image and likeness of God. And even the devil, God doesn't hate the devil, because even the devil still has that image of God on his soul. He's completely lost the likeness. We talk about image and likeness. He's completely lost the likeness through his own sin. And we lose the likeness of God through sin as well. But we still always have that image on our soul, that we have been created in the image of God. That can never be lost. That can never be destroyed. And I said, so of course, we have to say God still loves the devil. God loves the devil. God hates what the devil is doing. But God loves the devil. God loves each and every one of us. God hates the sin that we do. Not just doesn't like it, not just disappointed, hatred. And that's what we see here. The Lord is putting an enmity between the snake and the woman. God is saying, and that very word enmity, it's a word that it's difficult to pronounce, and we don't even hear it much in English, but it means a complete radical separation. That there is this completely radical separation between Mary and between sin. This is why so often when we see paintings or statues of the Blessed Mother, we often see her stomping on a snake. Because what does the Lord say here? He says, you will strike at her heel and she will strike at your head. That there is that complete enmity between the snake and between the woman, who is not just Eve, but the Blessed Mother, the new Eve. That's one of the titles, of course, we give to the Blessed Mother, the new Eve. That just as Eve was the closest cooperator with Adam in the fall of mankind, Mary, as the new Eve, will be the closest cooperator with Christ, the new Adam, in the redemption of mankind. So both here in that first reading, that enmity, that hatred that God has actually put between the Blessed Mother as the new Eve and between sin. That Mary is so radically opposed to sin that of course she would have been without even the original sin on her soul. So these two readings, that first reading and that gospel, I think, like I said, some of the strongest scriptural evidence we have for the dogma of the Immaculate Conception. But let me wrap up with this. We are all called, we who were not conceived free of any stain of sin, we who were conceived with the stain of original sin, but who has that washed off at baptism, we are called to follow the example of the Blessed Mother in having a complete enmity for sin, in having a complete radicality from sin, that we are so opposed to even the slightest venial sin. This is what St. Paul is telling us in that second reading, that God chose us before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blemish before him. He chose the Blessed Mother in a very special way, but he has chosen all of us to be completely holy, to be without sin, to have that complete radicality, opposition, that enmity between us and sin. So let's pray for that grace today. Let's ask for the Blessed Mother's intercession, she who is the patroness of our country, the Immaculate Conception. Let's ask her for that grace to be so opposed to all sin that we may never fall into the trap of justifying even certain sins. Let's pray for that grace today.